there's a psychic dimension to this whole problem that is so outside of our range of knowledge that to admit that lack of understanding would be devastating, I think, to the image of our explorations. I think a good example of that is, you know, some of the craft, I think, have been described as having their controls of just little depressed regions for the fingers.
For the fingers, right. That was Roswell, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that was certainly one of them. And so until we link that together with the physics that we understand, and until we figure out to the extent which time is involved, I think we really won't have the complete answer.
Do you think, Bob, that we could be dealing with time travelers, whether us from a distant future or something else
traveling in
time?
Well, I've been trying to avoid answering that in the affirmative for most of my life, but the more and more I get exposed to it and see that the psychic world is clearly able to do remote viewing forward and backward in time, it's clear that there's a way to transgress time. And until we understand that, I think I would have to admit the possibility that, you might be able to invent a time machine that would actually mean that some of the creatures that we're seeing are actually time travelers. However, if I had to take my choice and make my bet, I'd be inclined to say my money is on simple interplanetary transfers in real time.
Grant, I know that Wilbur Smith did that book having to do, I think the title was The New Science, and you had mentioned him earlier, and he had that dialogue with that Mrs. Swan in the United States who said that she was in telepathic communication with beings that I believe she described as being more humanoid, not the gray Eben type.
Yeah, and that ties into the whole thing about the mind, this whole idea, which again ties into whether, you know, people control minds. It's not just the machine. It's, like the mind control, this sort of stuff, which is very important to the U.S. Military. But Wilbur Smith actually in the 1950 Top Secret Memo talks about the fact that the Americans already realized that mental phenomena was involved. And Wilbur Smith said they weren't doing very well and that they asked the Canadians if they had anything to add. They were willing to cooperate on this issue. And Wilbur Smith knew right from the word go that the mind was a very important part of the whole thing. And in fact, this extends right to 1959, that the CIA actually had a contact, a mind contact, this Mrs. Swan, who claimed to be able to talk to the aliens, had taught a Navy intelligence officer how to do this. And this Navy intelligence officer went to the National Photographic Interpretation Center, where they analyzed all the U-2 SR-71 spy photographs and dealt with a guy by the name of Art Lundahl, who was known as the foremost intelligence officer in the 1950s, the guy that ran the lab and was supposedly briefed three presidents on UFOs. And they actually made a contact, which we now have the document from Jacques Vallée, which describes this whole incident where the CIA officers were in the room and Navy intelligence people. They made contact with the alien, and it flew by the window of this facility in Washington, D.C.
After he made the request, correct?
Yes, and this was they had taught this Navy intelligence, and Lundahl and a Navy intelligence guy were asking the questions and asked the alien to prove that he was there. And this UFO flew by the window. And Art Lundahl, this was in the 1970s, Robert Emmenegger did a documentary called UFOs Past, Present, Future, which he highlighted this case. This is when they first disclosed that this had happened. And he talked to Art Lundahl, and Art Lundahl confirmed that he had written the memo and that the incident had occurred, but that he wouldn't go on camera on the documentary. But he did confirm the case had occurred. And this guy was a very, very powerful person inside the CIA. He's actually the guy who briefed Kennedy on the Cuban Missile Crisis. He's the guy that would brief Eisenhower every time there's a U-2. He was a photographic genius and was in charge of the photographic people who did the Robertson Panel UFO work.
And it was Lundahl who was supposed to be telepathically relating to a humanoid in a silver disc that called itself AFA, or AFA, A-F-F-A, correct?
Yes, but it wasn't Lundahl. Lundahl was asking the questions. It was a Navy intelligence officer who had been taught by Mrs. Swan how to do this, and Lundahl was one of the people that was asking the questions, and they immediately called Robert Friend in from Blue Book, and he came, and they did another session with this naval intelligence officer who had learned how to do this. And at that point, the AFA, who was the alien, said that the time wasn't right. They weren't going to do a flyby that day. But Robert Friend from Blue Book said it was the most amazing case he'd ever come across.
And wasn't Mrs. Swan in the United States, who was also communicating with Wilbur Smith in Canada, wasn't she saying that she was in telepathic communication with a humanoid named AFA?
Yes, she was in contact with a couple. One was Ponar, one was AFA, and she called them the good ones. They were not blondes, but they were human types, and there's a strange case that she lived only a couple miles away from Betty Hill, and that when Betty Hill was first abducted, NICAP, who was running it, really didn't want to believe in this whole thing about little gray people who abducted people, and Admiral Knowles, who was one of the NICAP people, brought Mrs. Swan in to go and talk to Betty Hill and calm her down. And when Mrs. Swan heard that she was in contact with Grays, she would have nothing to do with Betty Hill. She refused to do this thing that she'd been asked to do, and said, she's in contact with the evil ones, and I'm not going to have anything to do with her.